Genesis 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And by the way, gentlemen, you just got a textbook lesson on how to deal with temptation right there. Amen. Verse number 9, "There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything for me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Verse 10, notice this, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would ask, Lord, that you would just take, Lord, we're going to take something that we found here in the King James Bible, and we're going to chase it around a little bit and let the Bible speak to us tonight. Thank you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Thank you, Lord, that there's no word, there's no phrase, there's no sentence that's simply placed in there as filler. Everything has meaning and purpose, and all of it, Lord, is given so that we can profit. And so we ask that we would be helped tonight, please, through the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, right after Christmas, me and my wife decided we would pull some of our resources together, and you know how you do the New Year's resolution thing. And we decided we are getting old and we need to work a little harder at staying in shape. And so we pulled our resources together and got an elliptical machine. Does anybody here know what an elliptical machine is? All right. For the rest of you, I'm going to do the best I can to tell you what it is. It's basically a machine that's designed for torture. It's something from the medieval ages, and the entire purpose is to bring pain and agony and suffering into your life. But it's not a treadmill where the thing just goes around and you run on it. It's kind of works. You've got two little steps here, and you put your feet on it, and you go like this. You know, old people are understanding. You get to a time where you don't want to jar the joints any more than you have to. And so we are doing this and with your feet, and it kind of goes almost like a bicycle. There's a big wheel on the back, and it goes, and you're doing this number. Is this making sense? You know, and I don't know how people listening on the web are going to understand what this is without seeing me take my hands and do this so that they can. And then while you're doing that, it has two little poles, and as you're going, you go like this, and your feet are going like this, and it really doesn't look very difficult. It doesn't. First time I got that thing, put it all together, aren't you glad that nothing comes assembled? What a blessing that is. So it took me about 3 days to get it assembled, and then got on that thing, and I thought to myself, you know what, I'll just start out with 30 minutes on this thing. And I promise you this is true. After 5 minutes, I couldn't breathe. I was laying on the ground. I was exhausted. And that was just from putting it together. But Five minutes, the first day, I thought, this is going to kill me. And I was talking to one of my buddies that goes to the gym and uses one, and he said, I was telling him how hard it was to get started on it, and he said, well, what do you have the resistance level set on? I said, what? There's a resistance button there. I said, oh, he said, yeah, you push a button and it'll go up to so much resistance. And I thought, well, that's probably the problem. It was stuck all the way on the highest resistance level. It wasn't. It goes from 0 to 12. It was on 0. So on 0 resistance, 5 minutes, I'm about to have a heart attack. So the next day I got on it again and said, I've got to do better. And so I stuck with it and finally got to where I could do 10 minutes. And then I started playing with the resistance button and got the resistance up. He said, try to work your way up to about 50% of the resistance level. He said, that's usually pretty standard. And so I got it up to where I'm not quite, it goes up to 12. I set it on 4 right now. Come on, I'm old, all right, give me time. And so I've got it on 4 right now. And I have now finally, after about 3 months, got up to where I can do about 30 minutes a night, set on 4. I don't want to do any more than 30. I'm going to just keep pushing up the resistance and make it a little harder. Probably most of you have noticed how much more fit I look and vibrant and healthy, especially this past week when I was sick as a dog for most of the week. But I was talking to somebody after I'd been doing it for about a month and making progress, and you know, everybody, not everybody, but there's a certain number of people that are experts or think they are when it comes to exercise. And so I was talking about what I was doing, and the guy said, no, what are you doing? No, you don't do that every day. He said, there's no reason to do it every day. He said, you just need to do it every other day. Well, I liked this guy right away. I thought, you know what, this man knows what he's talking about. And so I decided that I would start skipping every other day. And I'll be honest with you, it was the biggest mistake I made since I got it. I don't know if he based that on anything that's substantial. I'm sure I'll get 50 different opinions after the service. But all I know is this. When I skipped a day, it just seemed like it was 10 times harder the next day to get back and get it up to where I was. I found out that if I just stayed with it and did it every single day, that I was not only felt better, but I was able to maintain and build and go in a positive direction. The minute that I start skipping some days, it just seemed like that it was a lot harder, and I start going backwards instead of forward. I'm going to preach on the subject tonight, don't skip a day. Don't skip a day. Now, I started out in this portion of Scripture because I wanted to get down to verse number 10 and share with you this. Satan never takes a day off. Satan attacks, notice what it says here in this verse, day by day. Satan attacks day by day. He comes and tempts us day by day. I just keep thinking, surely on a holiday, Satan will take a day off. He doesn't take a day off on a holiday. Surely there's got to be a time where he goes on a vacation for a week or two. Never goes on vacation. He attacks day by day. He oppresses us day by day. He sends temptations to seek us out day by day. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. You know why? You know why she did that? Because Satan was behind this temptation, and Satan is not going to take off a one single day. Now, I understand, folks, with our lives and with our schedules, there's a lot of good things that we do occasionally, and there are certain things that we certainly cannot do every single day. But I do believe that as we take this little phrase that we find here, day by day, and we chase it through the Bible, we can find that there are some things that we cannot afford to skip a day on. We cannot afford to skip even one day on. For instance, 2 Chronicles 30:21 The Bible says that the children of Israel were present at Jerusalem, kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Psalm 23:22-23 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." One of the things that we see and where we find this phrase in the Bible is in connected with praising the Lord. Let me just give you this. Don't skip one single day when it comes to praising the Lord. Don't skip one single day when it comes to praising the Lord. One of the greatest habits that you can get into is every single day of your life, throughout the day, spend some time praising the Lord. You say, "Preacher, do I need to have a scheduled time to do that?" No, you just be aware, please, of the simple blessings of life, and then give the Lord credit for those blessings as they come your way. I'm talking about when you sit down to eat, praise the Lord. I'm talking about when you have an answer to prayer, praise the Lord. I'm talking about when God gets you safely somewhere, whether it's from point A to point B, praise the Lord. I'm talking about when you get good news, praise the Lord. I'm talking about when you get bad news, just praise the Lord. Sometimes you praise the Lord, sometimes you praise the Lord anyhow. Our bus kids sing a chorus as they're being brought to church on many of the buses. It's amazing what praising can do. Let me say this, that's not just a fun song, that is a great truth. A great truth. Learn to sing. Learn to praise the Lord. And one of the ways that we find all through the scriptures is that when Israel praised the Lord, there was much of that time was spent praising the Lord through singing. I don't know if I can overemphasize the importance of good Christian music into your lives. I mean that. I feel sorry for some of you. The only time that you listen to or hear a Christian song is when you come to church. Did you hear what I said? I feel sorry for you that the only time. Now you think about it. Some of you, besides last Sunday and Wednesday night, not one time this week have you listened to Christian music. Have you listened to a Christian song? I believe we need to get in the habit of listening to Christian music because we need to get a song on our heart, the right kind of music. You know, we come in on a Sunday morning and we'll sing four songs generally in our regular schedule. Sunday night, four songs. And Wednesday night, we'll sing four songs. So that's 4 and 8. And that's 12 Christian songs that we sing. And if that's all that you're doing, and then you get in your truck and you go to work, gentlemen, and you listen throughout the week to over 100 different songs of the world's music and the world's message and the world's beat and the world's philosophy, no wonder you're depressed half the time. No wonder you're spiritually drained. No wonder there's not a spiritual kick in your step and a smile on your face and a praise on your lips. I believe it's so important that we get into the habit of just saturating our lives with songs that bring glory and honor to God, to lift our hearts in praise to the Lord. And so let me encourage you to do that. One man wrote this: Christianity is the singing religion. Is the singing religion. And that's absolutely true. You know what? Atheism is songless. Atheism. Have you ever seen an atheistic songbook? They have nothing to sing about. You know, the funeral notice of Robert Ingersoll, in his funeral notice, the noted agnostic, in his funeral notice, it was this statement: "There will be no singing." There will be no singing. Well, of course, what did he have to sing about? The psalm singing of the Christian martyrs going to their deaths in the arena alerted the Roman Empire to the fact that a new and revolutionary force was coming into being. When the pleasure-bent populace saw the Christians singing as they fearlessly entered the amphitheater where hungry lions awaited them, they were filled with awe. Heaven is vibrant with song. That's what we read about. And they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15 and verse number 3. Folks, every single day you need to praise the Lord. And you need to get a song on your heart to praise the Lord. I love this little story. Let me read it to you. A brave little girl was taken to a doctor for a minor but painful operation. When all was ready, the kindly doctor said, "This will hurt, but you may cry or if necessary, scream as much as you please. The little girl looked up at him smiling and said, I would rather sing. And she did with her sweet childish voice and went through her brief ordeal without sigh, groan, or tear. I love that song. You know what, folks? I'll just tell you right now, you've got to choose the way you're going to go through life. Guess what? You're going to face some heartaches. Guess what? You're going to face some difficulties. If you want to, you can sigh. If you want to, you can cry. If you want to, you can scream. If you want to, you can do those things. But you know what? Here's an alternative. Why don't you just sing your way through them? It's amazing what praising can do. I like what Martin Luther said. He's quoted to say this, music is a fair and lovely gift of God, which has often wakened and moved me to the joy of preaching. Next, after theology, I give to music the highest place and the greatest honor. My heart bubbles up and overflows in response to music, which has so often refreshed me and delivered me from dire plagues. I think to myself, amen. I don't know if we really understand here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray, by the way, I pray as I pray for our church, and I pray in preparation for Sunday. I pray for Brother Tom Walton and ask God's blessing and power upon him as he leads the music. I pray for our piano player, Sister Lauren, as she plays the piano. And I ask God to just give her a blessing and an anointing and skill and keep her on track there. I pray for those that are preparing for special music. I pray for our choir, and I ask God to use them. You know why? Because all of these things God has given us to prepare our hearts and lift our hearts to heaven. Listen, folks, you don't have to just have that on Sunday. You can have it on Monday. You can have it on Tuesday. You can have it on Wednesday. You can have it on Thursday. You can, listen, gripe if you want, complain if you want to, bellyache if you want to, be a dour and sour individual, or you could just learn to praise the Lord. It's amazing what praising can do. I like this. One of America's greatest heritage, a little story about Gypsy Smith, the great evangelist. One of America's greatest heritage is the Negro spiritual. Many of them are in plaintive minor modes, so expressive of sorrow and suffering and of simple and bright faith in God. Gypsy Smith used to try to employ Negroes and a Negro choir often to sing before he would preach. He said this. He said, the difference between the singing of white people and the Negroes is this. White people sing the music, but the music sings the Negroes. White people sing the music, but the music sings the Negroes. Let me say this, folks. I've watched people sing a song, and I've watched sometimes a song sing the person. Do you know what I'm talking about? When our young people used to put on the programs and they would prepare the music. And you know what? I would watch the process of their preparation, and there would be a certain amount of time where the kids are just singing the song. But I always knew they were ready. I always knew that it was time for us to have the program. When I would come to a practice and sit back and realize that they were no longer singing the song, but the song was singing them. Are you getting this, church? Are you getting this? Let me say this. If you're going to stand behind the pulpit and you're going to sing for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? You need to not just learn to sing the song. You got to learn to let the song sing you. You got to learn to be so touched by the truths of that song. I'm talking about what we heard this morning from Sister Tonya. I'm talking about what we heard tonight from Brother Nathan. I'm talking about what we heard choir. Listen, I'm glad that you practice and I want you to get it right. But I'm always been the case. I'll just say this out loud. I've always been less worried about everybody hitting every single note right and more worried about putting your heart into it and your life into it and your smile into it and letting God do something with the music to you. I know this is a preacher. There's been times that I've preached sermons, and there's been times that sermons have preached me. And sometimes you get so overtaken by the truth that, you know what, it's no longer you delivering a message. The message has gotten control of you, and it's just a channel from God to the people, and you're out of the way, and you're not a part of it anymore, and something supernatural is happening. You know what, folks, let me say this. You don't have to be up here, whether singing or preaching, to have that happen. You can have that happen in your car. You can have that happen, ladies, as you're washing the dishes at home. And you know what, as you're trying to dry the dishes, you're re-wetting them with the tears because you know what? God's done something to your heart and God's ministered to your heart. Oh, give us that kind of Christianity again.
day by day, day by day, thou, oh, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And I do believe in a special way, when God's people really praise the Lord, there's a special presence and a special anointing, and in a real and special way, God inhabits the praises of His people. I had a sweet black lady that attended our church in Brazil, Indiana for a while. I want to say her name was Delois. Wasn't it Delois? And I loved her. And I was thinking about her a little bit this morning in preparation. I was going to mention her tonight. And I was going over the message this morning I was going to preach. And I thought, if Delois was here this morning and heard my message on the resurrection, she would literally get so into a message. And her eyes would get about this big. I mean, big white eyes. In that pretty black face, and her eyes would get real big, and she'd just get so into it. She'd start a rocking, and she'd get involved. And sometimes she would scream. I mean, I didn't say amen. I would say something. She'd go, whoa, like that. And I thought, man, I need her this morning, man. When I'd have turned that rider death on that pale white horse, when it had been running through here this morning, she'd have screamed. She would have screamed. And you know why? Because she wasn't sitting there critiquing a message. She wasn't sitting there saying, I'm going to write down how many mistakes he makes today. She was there living the message. She was there saying, God, touch me with the message. Folks, listen to me. If you want to, you can have a real clinical, you know, put the rubber gloves on, clinical mentality when it comes to Christianity. And I'll come and I'll observe and I'll sit and I'll critique. But why don't you just let God move in? Why don't you let God touch you with the message, touch you with the music, touch you with the singing? I mean, listen, when that happens, you know what? Even those of you that are so dignified and so determined never to say amen, you know what? You wouldn't be able to help it every once in a while. It just jump right out of you. Amen. And what I'm saying is this, you can live that type of a life. I'm not talking about showboatism. I'm not talking about putting on a fake and a front. I'm talking about where the presence of God is real in your life, and you spend the day understanding that God is in charge of everything, and everything that's happening, you're interacting with God, and you've got a song of praise on your heart. Hey, just go back out to your radio and take it off all those silly stations that sap the spiritual life out of you. Take it off that. I dare you. Why don't you just for 1 month of your life get some good solid Christian music and put it in there and just say, I'm going to let God take over this car. I'm going to let God take over the workplace. I'm going to let God take over the home. And day by day, you know what? Don't skip a day praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we can't in an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning, an hour and 15, 20 minutes on a Sunday night, we can't pump enough excitement and religion into you to make up for 6 days of walling around in the devil's hogwash. I just can't rescue you in that amount of time. I'm sorry. I wish I could, but I can't rescue you. Christianity needs to become a lifetime event, a day-by-day event in your life, and all of that ought to revolve around praising the Lord. Sister Delois, I don't know, she told us, she had us over at our house a couple times to eat. Man, that was good eating, I'll just tell you that right now. And she just seemed to, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just her, because I haven't been around a lot of black people in my life. I'm just telling you the truth. I just haven't. Sorry, we live in white, green county, so I just haven't been around. But it just seems like they have an awareness of the invisible a little bit more than we have an awareness of the invisible. Half the time, I think she's seeing things that the rest of us can't see. We were at her house visiting one day, and she said, Brother Jerry, she says, sometime, she said, I'm in here. Sometime I in here by myself, and I feel the devil here, and the devil's here with me. And I thought to myself, I felt that, buddy. Have you ever felt that? You ever felt like the devil just moved into your living room? I said, what do? She said, I sing him right out of here. I sings him right out of here is what I do. And you know what? If you want to, you can sing him right out of your life. Now, if you're going to listen to honky-tonk, you just opened the door and invited him to camp out with you. If you're going to listen to rock and roll, then you just opened the door and you've invited all the demons of hell into your life. But well, why don't you just decide to praise the Lord? This is a real thing, folks. You have this ability as a child of God in your heart. If you want this kind of a life, you can have it. But I can't do it for you. Mom can't do it for you. And Dad can't do it for you. You know what? At some point, young adults, you have to take control of your life and say, I want to live a Christian life. I want God involved in every nook and corner, every moment and minute of my life and my day. I want God to take over my life. Well, that's a good place to get to. We need to do that day by day. How about Nehemiah 8:18? Also, day by day, from the first day until the last, he read in the book of the law of God. Did you get that? Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. We need to praise the Lord and not skip a day. We need to read the Bible and not skip a day. And like I said, there's some things we just got to do once or twice a week. Well, there's some things we can't do every day. But we cannot afford to take a break from the Word of God. You say, preacher, this is elementary stuff. Let me ask you this. Have you got out of elementary school? I know it's elementary stuff, but you know what? I've still got to preach it. You know why? I'm amazed at Christians who have been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, still do not have a daily walk with God, still do not make Bible reading and a time in the Word of God a part of it. I'm not mad at you. I'm really not. I'm not even trying to put you on a guilt trip. I want to encourage your hearts tonight. Hey, if you haven't up to this point, isn't it time? Isn't it time? Listen, take a new look at the old book. I believe this. If you're struggling spiritually and you do not have a daily walk with God, I believe this. I'm not saying reading the Bible every day is going to instantly solve all your spiritual problems. But you cannot do that day in, day out, consistently, week in, week out, without it starting to transform your life. There's just something about having a consistent daily contact with the Bible that just begins to change you. You can't skip a day. You can't afford to skip a day when it comes to the Word of God. The Bible proclaims itself to be the sword of the Spirit. It is our weapon of defense against the devil and his temptation. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How about Hebrews 4:12? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the Word of God will do every day? It'll perform spiritual surgery on your soul and on your spirit, and it'll even have an influence on your physical being, the joints and the marrow. I wonder how much of our physical... Listen, I'm not upset at anybody. I know we all go through physical problems, folks. I just come off of a 4 or 5 day sick, but I wonder how much physical problems would be avoided when we get to heaven if God would have just said, you know what, if you'd have just believed me and read the Bible every day, you'd be surprised how much better shape you would have been in. Are you listening to me? The devil comes in Matthew chapter 4 and tempts Jesus. I don't have a red letter edition of the Bible. I'm not against them. However, let me say this. There's not one group of words that are more inspired or any more or less the Word of God than others. But if you open a red letter edition of the Bible to Matthew chapter 4, and you see every time that Jesus actually speaks, you'll see that every time he speaks to the devil during temptation, he's quoting Scripture. He's quoting Scripture. The devil isn't scared of me. And folks, he isn't scared of you. But he trembles at the words of an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, almighty God. I can't beat the devil, but I've got a weapon that can beat the devil. And so let me encourage you to read the Bible. Oh, Brother Jerry, I started back in January and I fell off. And you know what happened? You didn't do it day by day. You didn't do it day by day. You decided, like me, you'd skip a day. Somebody gave you some good advice. Like I got some good advice. And you realize you didn't have to do it. Yes, you do. You need to do it every single day. You see, 5 pages a day. I've said this. You take just a standard Bible like this. If you just read 5 pages a day, you know what? You'll easily get through the Bible in a year. I can read in a Scofield Bible, 5 pages. I'm talking about I start at page 5 and go to 10. Next day, 10 and go to 15. 15 and go to 20. Just start on whatever chapter's on that page and end to the closest chapter to the other page. You can do that. And folks, you can easily read through the Bible in a year. Matter of fact, when I do that using a Scofield reference Bible, I can read through the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, and the New Testament a second time and still have a little time at the end of the year if you just do 5 pages a day. Folks, you know how much time that takes? It honestly, and I am a fast reader, but at the same time, when I read the Bible, I slow down on purpose because I don't want to skip anything. I try to almost read it as if I was reading it at an out loud loud pace. It doesn't take 10 minutes. It doesn't take 10, 11 minutes to do that. Don't tell me you don't have time to read the Bible. Don't tell me you don't have time to read the Bible. You do have time to read the Bible. Well, Brother Jerry, I tried that and I fell off the wagon, but I'll try again next year. You're going to go? What? You're going to go the rest of 2010? Has the devil so deceived you that he can talk you into that? That he can tell you, well, you blew it this year, try again next January? Are you crazy? I don't care how many days you miss. I don't care where you're at and where you're not. Tomorrow morning, get up again, open it up, find a starting place, and just begin. But listen, folks, this is something we need to do day by day. Now, young men, I don't know how I need to give you any better advice. I mean it. Of all of the things I could tell you to do in life, young ladies, of all of the things I could tell you to do in life, I don't know of any better advice I could give you than what I just gave you is that. Read the Bible every day. Read the Bible every day. Just don't skip a day reading the Bible. Now, some of you that are younger, you know what? Read a chapter a day. You know what? Go to the New Testament. Start in Matthew. Read one chapter. I don't care how much you read. Just do it every single day and be consistent with it. And you know what? You'll find that it just does something in your life. Let me give you this. Remember what it said in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 3? Let me read this to you. Part of the Lord's Prayer says this: give us day by day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Well, we need to praise the Lord day by day. We need to read the Bible day by day. We need to trust in God and don't skip a day. And don't skip a day. Give us day by day our daily bread. Let me just vent here a minute. The Bible doesn't say that we're to pray this prayer to the government. Bible doesn't say that's the prayer. Let me tell you what is so wickedly wrong, folks, with what is happening and the direction of our country. You see, folks, socialism is anti-Bible. It's not just anti-American, it is anti-Bible. You see, what this nation is going to and what the government wants to do is get to you to the point where you are dependent upon them for your daily bread. You're no longer dependent upon God for your daily bread. I'm so tired. I'm just heartbroken over that. I mean that. It's almost like the American spirit is being destroyed. The American spirit is being punished. The thing that used to run this country and drive this country, I mean, folks, if you have some get up and go about you and you've got some determination and you've got a work ethic and you want to go out and accomplish something and succeed, you know what the government says? We're going to punish you for that. We're going to tax you and we're going to take from you and we're going to punish you. The government's saying if your alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning, we're going to punish you. If you lay in bed till noon, we're going to reward you. Something wrong with this country. That's not what the Bible teaches. And let me say this. There's not a man or a woman or family in here that has a right not to work. That doesn't have a right to sit there and say, I'm going to let Uncle Sam take care of me. That's wrong. Listen, it's not Uncle Sam taking care of you. It's the person who's working a job that's sitting around you and in front of you and behind you that's out there every day sweating. And you know what? Having our income taken 40, 45, 50% of everything we make being taken. 1950, the average American paid less than 1% of their income into taxes. 1950. Can you imagine? I want just the average working guy here to think. Where would you be right now financially if you only had to pay 1% of taxes of everything you made this past year? Where would you be? I'll tell you where we'd be. We would be where we were in 1950, where hardworking men were rewarded. People with an entrepreneur spirit was rewarded. And you know what? If you didn't work, you didn't eat. That's great motivation for going to work. It really is. I'm not talking about, listen, there's not a person in here that doesn't say, hey, I would take some of my money and help a widow. Take some of my money and help someone who is genuinely I'll be the first one in line to help someone who cannot, but I don't want to help anybody that will not work. And so, we listen, folks, what's happening is government is becoming God. We used to pray the Lord's Prayer to the Lord. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now let me just say this. I'll get off my soapbox here. But we need to get back as Christians to trusting in God. Amen. Trust in God day by day. Preacher, the future looks bleak. I understand that. Man alive, if I watched too much of the news or read too much of the newspaper, I think I'd be up on top of the roof threatening to jump off. You know, if I put my eyes too much on this world, I think I'd be so discouraged all of the time. But my trust is not in Washington, D.C. My trust, let me say this, is not in what happens or doesn't happen this November or in 2012. I'm sorry, folks. That's not where my trust is. It never has been there. My trust is in Almighty God. Preacher, it looks bleak. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust the Lord. What are you going to do? I'm going to get up tomorrow and work hard. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to try to win somebody to Christ. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do the work of God. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my children. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to trust God. I love this song, and it's just personally one of my favorites. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day, day to day. Don't skip a day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry or the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye at the ending of the rainbow where the mountains touch the sky. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. Amen to that. But I know who holds tomorrow and I know who holds my hand. Sorry, folks, I've just spent too much of my life just trusting in the Lord. Listen, just get up every day, put your hand in God's hand, put your hand in the hand of a loving Heavenly Father and say, Lord, just lead me through another day. Yeah, Lord, protect my family and take care of me and lead me through another day. Listen, folks, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in my life, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. Probably we ought to just be glad about that. There's going to be some heartaches along the way. There's going to be some tragedies. There's going to be some setbacks. Not everything's going to go our way. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. This world is not a friend to the Christian. But isn't it good to know that we have a God that loves us and will take care of us and has promised to provide our needs? Put your trust back in God and don't skip a single day. Don't skip a single day. Let me give you the last one. I believe also, folks, we can't afford to skip a day of being renewed in the inner man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me just give you this last thought, and I want you to take it home with you. You cannot afford day by day not to spend some time renewing the inner man. Now, how do you do that? Well, we've already taught you that, praising God in song, reading the Bible, trusting in the Lord. But folks, let me say this. You have to be aware of where you are spiritually. Every day, we've got to spend some time renewing the inward man. You know what? I have had to learn, and most of you that have any age on you know this. You know what? You have to learn your body. You have to learn your body. I have to learn what is going wrong, and the older, some of you young people, you look at me when I'm talking about these things, but your day's coming. I promise you, your day's coming. And some of you that are a lot older than me looking at me thinking, your day's coming, son. You have no idea what's ahead for you. But you know, you honestly have to learn your body. And you know, the older you get, the more things that you have to pace and you have to do, and you might not be able to have done something you did a while back, and you have to understand when something's starting to go wrong, you have to learn how to fix it to keep it from going completely wrong. And sometimes you back up, and sometimes you start over, and sometimes you rest up, and sometimes you are you listening? You have to diagnose where you're at physically, and a lot of us have enough sense to do that, but we do not have, it seems like, the discernment to diagnose where we are spiritually. I've got a cell phone. Sometimes I want to just pitch it in a lake. Then I realize about 5 minutes later I'd probably be swimming in the lake looking for it because I need it. But it's amazing how all of a sudden that seems to have become a necessity in our life. But you know what? I carry that thing along, and sometimes I get busy and I don't realize how long it's been since it's been plugged in. The one I have now, when it starts to get a low battery, it just every once in a while gives this little beep, 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 beep. Just every once in a while, about every minute, it'll go beep, beep.
Then if I ignore it long enough, it'll start doing it pretty regularly. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. You know what it's saying? If you pick it up and look at the screen, I push the button, the screen pops up. It says, alert. So it's a big word it says right at the top. Alert. And then it says, your battery's getting low. Low battery. You need to recharge it. And you know what, folks? Honestly, sometimes we need to tune in to our spiritual, our inward man, and we need to listen, because sometimes there's something beeping going on there, and we need to be renewed in the inner man. Now, folks, listen to me. All of these things I've given you tonight will help to do that, but there's sometimes, let me just share this with you. There's sometimes when you know, when you just need something extra from the Lord, you need something special from the Lord. There's times when you need to just not read the 5 pages a day. You need to sequester yourself away and say, Lord, I'm going to read this book till you do something in my life, because my battery's getting low. There's times when, you know what, the few minutes you use with your prayer list isn't enough, and you need to get in that prayer closet and say, Lord, I'm going to stay here till something gets recharged and gets re-energized in my life, because there's something going on, there's something wrong going on, and I need to get this thing recharged. I need to get my inner man back where it needs to be. Listen, young men, I appreciate those of you that are into physical fitness, and you're so worried about what you can do in the exercise, and you're so faithful. But are you as faithful to do that same type, with that same type of diligence, make sure that your spiritual life is correct and your inward man is strengthened day by day? Listen, is something going off in your life? Let me say this, folks. I just want to go ahead and throw this in here. I know we only have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but let me say this. You can't afford to skip a day. Part of the renewing of the inward man is coming and letting the preaching of God's word do something special in your life. Now look up here and just let me plead with you. I'm not trying to live your life, and I'm not going to live your life. I'm not the kind of preacher that's going to go home on a Wednesday night, go down through the membership list, and call everybody that wasn't here and try to find out why. I don't do that stuff. But I'm telling you this, you're making a mistake by thinking that you can. You know how people, listen, I'm talking about Joe Blow that I knock on the door this week, and we'll find behind one of the doors I knock on, there'll be a used to be Christian. There'll be a used to attend Christian. There'll be a used to be a Sunday school Christian. Used to be a Sunday school teacher Christian. Used to be a soul winner Christian out there. Let me tell you how they do it. Let me tell you how they end up out of church. They decide at some point that it's okay to start missing the occasional service. That's how they do it. That's exactly how they do it. All of a sudden, they can find a way to justify in their mind, even though it's a little difficult to get here Wednesday night, and it's easier not to than do it, I'm just going to say that that is not that big of a deal, it's not that important, and I can get by without it. The problem is once you justify that, then you can start justifying Sunday nights. And once you start justifying Sunday nights, you'll start justifying the occasional Sunday school. And listen, 5 years from now, somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church will knock on your door and you'll be a used-to-be Christian. Now tell me that's not true. The person who is completely out of church, who used to be totally into church, there was some transitional time in their life. Something happened, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. They started deciding that they could miss that occasional service. They could just skip that occasional service. How do you renew your spirit day by day? How do you renew this inner man? You praise the Lord. You read your Bible. You trust in Him. You walk with God every day. You get in church. Listen, I just settled this. I wish we could get some young couples in here just to settle this. That, you know what? I'm a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Unless I'm providentially hindered, when the doors are open, I'm there. Just settle it. Just write it down. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have any idea what it would feel like. I think it would be so weird to be sitting at home on a Wednesday night while church is going on. And to some of you, it used to be weird, but now it's gotten pretty normal. And I'm telling you, I'm standing up here as your friend. You know I don't personally badger. You know I don't come to you in person. But I'm telling you, as a preacher, you are on a dangerous road. I can't imagine. I mean, there's folks right now, member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that physically could be here, and they are home right now sitting in a recliner with the TV on. I don't understand how you can do that. I don't understand. I'm not talking about someone who physically can't. I'm not talking about someone who's providentially hindered. I'm talking about someone who could be here. And I don't understand that. I don't ever want to understand that. And you know what? The first time you did it, you sat there under conviction of Almighty God. Don't tell me you didn't. Not if you're saved. Don't tell me you didn't. But the problem is when you harden your heart to that conviction, every time it gets a little bit easier. And if you're not careful, you're going to be one of these people that Satan has pulled out of church and gotten the victory in their life. I'm saying right now, there's members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that have no excuse not being here tonight at this church. And they are on a dangerous, dangerous path. I don't care what excuse they're walking around. I don't care what owie they're showing everybody. They are on a dangerous path right now. And it's not just them that they're doing this to. It's their children that they're doing this to. And it breaks this preacher's heart. Listen to me, folks. Just decide, I'm not going to be that Christian. I can't control what everybody else is going to do, but I'm not going to be that Christian. I'm going to understand that, you know what, there's certain things that's needful in the life of Christian, and my inward man needs to be renewed day by day and week by week. I need to be under the preaching of God's Word, and I need to be in the fellowship of Christians. And it's amazing what people can be faithful to, but all of a sudden they can't be faithful to church. That's just hogwash. Let me tell you another way you can renew your inward man and will quit. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing that'll refire the furnace in your heart like winning a soul to Jesus Christ. Like winning a soul to Jesus Christ. I don't believe for one second, Ashley, that something didn't happen inside of your heart when they said to you, hey, come up here and you got to lead. I'm going to tell you, there's something that happens when you just get to kneel down beside somebody, take a Bible, and win somebody to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, it just fires you up. Now, folks, listen to me. We have soul winning opportunities here. Let me tell you something. Get involved. I mean, there was people that came to church here, and you know what? They sat out there this morning, and they had the biggest, goofiest smile on their face the whole time. And you know why? And they kept looking down the aisle, and they're looking down the pew, and they're looking up the preacher. And you know what? They're just having a time. You know why? Because they went out this week, and they went into the harvest fields, and they pleaded with lost sinners, and they tried to get somebody to come to church with them. And guess what? They had somebody sitting with them in church today. And I'm going to tell you something. It just lit something inside of them. Listen, that ministers to the inward man. I worry about people who just never go somewhere. They never pass out a gospel tract. They never make a phone call. They never knock on doors. They never make a visit. You don't tell me you're on fire for God. You're dying spiritually inside. And there's only one way to get some of that flame going, and that's to do the main thing of the church. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. How can we claim Christ's likeness without adopting the main thing, the seeking, and to bring to salvation people to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've just been so excited over the course of the last few weeks. I just want this to go on and on and on and on. I know some of you are counting the days at the end of the program, but I just want it to go on and on and on. I just want to get up here and preach every Sunday, and I want to see lost people get under conviction. I want to see hands raised. I want to see people kneeling. I want to see tears shed. I want to be able to say in my heart, sing in my heart, there's a new name written down in glory. I want heaven to rejoice, and I want the book of life to be crammed full of names from Blessed Hope Baptist Church that God's used this. And that's what I want to see. I don't understand this complacent attitude. I can just show up to church and sit there and wonder if anything's going to happen. And, well, I'll see you next Sunday, preacher. And what in the world? What I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. The reason we get to that place in our Christian life is that we do not keep up on the day-by-day stuff. Don't skip a day. Don't skip a day. There are certain things that we need to do day by day. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you take this message and encourage the hearts of your people. Lord, keep us on fire. Keep us right. Keep us where we ought to be. And Lord, thank you for the blessings of God. Lord, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. Lord, I pray we'd once again get to that place in our Christian life where spiritual things are happening. That inner fountain is bubbling. Lord, where the Word of God is precious and the Holy Spirit, we can hear Him loud and clear, and we're tender to His leading, and prayer means something to us, and we carry a burden once again for the loss and excitement for the church house and an enjoyment when it comes to the preaching. Lord, help us to have that type of a revival in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, make it real. Make it real in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would use this message in this hour to bring back someone who's strayed a bit, who's wandered off, who's already, Satan's got them heading down a negative path, Lord, in their life, a wrong direction. I pray that this Bible, Lord, will change something in their lives tonight, we pray.